Daniel, I hit record on my new situation.
Yay!
Hey, Dono!
There he is. What's up, Bill?
Okay, so check this out. Your boy got offered three different jobs in 2 days.
Come on, player!
Yeah, so I got offered a... It wound it wound up falling apart.
Why?
Then I got offered a... We're trying to get them up.
Okay.
And then...
Oh, shit.
Yeah. How did that happen?
We have a surprise.
Oh, no.
She's working.
There we go.
She's working.
That's what I'm talking about. So,
Donald, that's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. I think I'm doing...
That's awesome. So dope.
So awesome.
Yeah. Well, we whiteboarded it, and it happened. So.
Yes, Donald.
Whiteboard.
And I also have a lead on something I sent you. I'm fucking hustling for you too, babe.
I appreciate it, man. Like, yo, things are good, man. Things are really good. I like to think that it's because we started this awesome podcast, but, you know, I don't...
I think it's because of this podcast and the positive energy and the serotonin in our brains and the whiteboard on your wall and the love from our friends and community.
I agree with you 100%.
Amen.
But look, the point of it is the whiteboard works. Like, you know... Your specificity is very important when whiteboarding, you know, just to say I want to be in a superhero movie isn't going to cut it. You have to be very specific. And
you got to look at it every day and then you got to go, was there any action I could be taking that would promote that goal? And then you brainstorm on what you could be doing. You go, I don't want to I'm nervous to call Jim and Terry, but Jim and Terry are friends with the director. No, you fucking call Jim and Terry.
Call Jim and Terry.
You gotta call Jim and Terry. You better call Jim and Terry if you know what's good for you. Yo, and the crazy shit was like I almost sabotaged it too. Like that's the other thing that we do as human beings. When something good is right around the corner, we have a tendency to fuck it up and make it so that it doesn't happen for us anymore. Mm-hmm. And you know, we get in our own way. And I almost did that today. You know, I almost, like, so I went and played tennis before my meeting today. I was like, I'm going to play some tennis. I'm going to forget about this meeting that I have today. I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to go and work it out. And after tennis, I was like, I should probably go get the weed now.
Oh, God.
And my wife was like, really?
That's not in line with our goals.
I was like, I got a half an hour. I can make it work.
I'm cringing for you.
I laugh because I've been there.
Oh my God. I was like, I can make it work. We're at the exit of our house, and the weed spot is two exits past. I was like, fuck the weed, baby, fuck the weed. My wife does a freaking Dom from Fast and the Furious across all of the freaking lanes.
We were
in the fast lane. She goes, thank you, babe. I was waiting for you to come to your senses. Hold on.
Hell yeah, Casey.
And we Casey.
And we make it to the house with time to spare.
Love
and
it.
Now I'm sitting there like, all right, now I got to ask questions. And the questions I asked were crap because I already knew I wanted the job.
You're trying to act cool.
But by the end of it, I had already been like, so we're doing this, right? This is real. We haven't changed our mind about me being in this.
Oh.
And they were like,
I love when people ask you, like, in the press, when you're doing, like, press for me, they're like, so why did you want to do this? And you're like, your honest answer is, because I wanted a fucking job.
Right.
What do you mean?
Zach, what made you choose to be a part of this film?
I couldn't fucking believe they asked me to.
That is the honest and good, and it's that way every freaking time. But they all
right,
and the
like
fact
they,
act, that you,
they treat you like you're like Ryan Gosling, and you're turning down 20 things a day. They're like, so what made you choose this of all things?
Right.
You're like, because I wanted to join.
Because I haven't worked in like 4 months.
I have an electric bill.
I don't know if you notice about me, but I got 9 kids.
I have 35 children, all below the age of 10. I love Casey, by the way, and I love that story. Casey, how do you feel about me?
Zach, I love you.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, no!
Zach, I love you. Zach, I love you.
The pad works.
It's here, baby.
Daniel came over and fixed it. How do you feel so far about it? You're rubbing your eyes. Is that a happy rubbing your eyes?
I'm so excited. I'm so excited for this. Oh, man. Now I gotta, now I have to watch what I say.
No,
all
you
the
don't.
Time.
I'm going to be so.
I don't want to fucking hear. I don't want to hear bong bubbles.
I'm going to be on my best behavior with it. I'm only going to use her certain times. But Dale came over and rigged her all up for me.
It sounds great. I'm
hey, listen,
excited.
I really had my feelings hurt when you all three of you left me on red last night. I was watching this show.
So sorry.
What were you watching?
I'm watching this show that I'm going to recommend to you guys and all of our listeners. It's called Mythic Quest. And it's so up your three alleys. It's behind the scenes of a video game company that makes a game like World of Warcraft. What do you call them, Dale?
MMORPGs.
Yeah, those. So it's behind the scenes of a company that's the most popular one. And it's very Scrubs-esque humor or, you know, workplace, you know, style comedy. But the actors are all hilarious. The script's very funny. And it's about video games. And I think you guys would love it.
Yeah, I got to check it out. I'm into it.
Drop the title one more time.
It's called Mythic Quest.
Mythic Quest. And is that a Hulu feature? Where is that at?
It's Apple TV. Apple TV.
Oh,
Apple.
Our good friends
Apple
at Apple. All right.
Our good friends at Apple. Apple TV. And I really, really like it. And I'm sitting there laughing, right? And I'm going, oh, my God, Daniel, Joelle, and Donald will love this. I text them in the group chat, everybody. Everybody listening? No response.
So
now, Donald,
oh, Brody,
now, Donald I know is
I was
I know Donald goes to sleep at 8, which is just fucking unbelievable, but true. Daniel and Joelle, I know, are up fucking playing video games till 1 in the morning. So I don't know what the hell's going on.
Danny Pudi is in this?
Yes.
Yes, he is.
And the kid who plays played my son in Alex Inc. is in it, and he's really, really funny. And there's this girl. I looked her up so I can give her a shout-out on our hit podcast here. She is so fucking funny. Every line she says, I laugh. Her name is Jessie Ennis.
Okay.
And she plays an assistant at the company, and she's one of those characters, like on Scrubs, where it was like everything Sam said or everything Rob said, she was like, she's that in this. And everything she says, I laugh out loud at. So,
sick.
Jessie, you're funny. If any of Jessie's friends listen to the show, tell her. And you guys, I'm telling you, love it. It's, if you're listening and you like Scrubs-esque humor, which I'm sensing you probably do, you'll like this. Hey, Donald, should you count us in? We should get this mofo going.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's the stories that you all should know.
Very funny episode. Laughed a bunch.
I did too. There was a lot of laugh out loud moments. There were a lot of, like, my notes are long.
Copious.
Today.
They're copious.
Yeah, I have a lot of notes today. I did not do a recap, however, because of the rushed.
It's all right. Your rush from tennis to the weed store to home. I want to talk about Joelle. We got to give Joelle a plug because Joelle is hosting tomorrow the red carpet for the Snyder Cut of Justice League.
Yes!
What?
So Joelle and Kevin Smith are hosting the red carpet. Joelle, tell everybody.
It's going to be so... Oh, gosh. Okay, guys. You already know I just love fandom. So when I got the call, it's so funny because the person who's producing the red carpet segment is a fan of this show. So thank you, guys. That's how I got the call.
Oh, so we're getting you work. Thunderous
you are
applause.
Getting me work.
Let's go!
And they were like, listen, you know, we hear you interact with the fans and we want to have... You know, on red carpets, there's these, like, fan pins where super fans of whatever movie is screening get to, like, hang out and get signatures or whatever. They're like, we're going to try to recreate that virtually. So Kevin will be interviewing, like, all the stars and, of course, Zach and everything. And I'm going to be with the fans, so I'm really excited to talk to them about, like, what they're expecting, what they're hoping to see.
Joelle, it's the perfect job for you.
It really is. I was literally tailor-made for this gig. So
now how do people watch it and what time? Tell everybody all the deets.
Okay. So I believe it starts at 7. You can watch the movie right afterwards. So that's going to be really exciting. It's going to premiere across all social media platforms at Snyder Cut. So if you go to Twitter, if you go to Instagram, wherever you want to go, it's at Snyder Cut. It's going to just be streaming right there. It's going to be exciting.
I have a question. I thought it was streaming on HBO Max. What's going
on? No, she's talking about her pre-show thing.
Oh, yes, the pre-show.
Yes, the red but carpet will be on the social medias.
When does the Snyder cut come out? Did it come
that
out today?
That night, Wednesday night, right?
Wednesday night.
I'm pretty
night.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah,
we're
recording this obviously on Friday, but we're talking about it like it's tomorrow because we're professionals, right. Donald.
No, I know. I'm saying.
Now, are you Donald Faison, Mr. Superhero Lover, going to watch a 4-hour movie?
Absolutely, I am. I've actually been waiting for this because I want to see what Zack Snyder has to say.
Apparently, it's in black and white. Bullshit. Are you okay
so
with that?
Two versions. So there'll be the Justice's gray version, which is the black and white version that he made. But there is also going to be a color version. I think they're going to launch at the same time on HBO Max.
That's the weird. Same movie, though, right?
That's weird, though. It's like, make a choice. You're going to make a black and white movie or not.
All right. I'm going to be honest with you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Preach.
I saw the original Justice League movie, the one that Joss Whedon did.
Sure, sure.
It was all right. It ain't Endgame. You know what I mean? But I really want to see what Zach has to say. I think he has a lot to say. I'm going to be honest with you. I think he has a lot to say. And there was a lot of hype behind this because he said what was put on screen wasn't what he intended originally. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited for it because Justice League was one of the better movies of that whole thing from the Man of Steel on, it's one of the better movies. So, and he's saying that wasn't the movie he intended. So I really want to see what he has to say.
So you're going to not only watch the red carpet with Joelle and Kevin Smith, you're going to tune in for the 4-hour movie.
I'm going to do the whole shebang.
Will you be
excited.
Having jazz cabbage as you enjoy the film?
See, this is one of those movies that you kind of have to have jazz.
It pairs nicely.
Yeah, kind of.
I got a bunch here now, so.
Yeah, look what he got.
Oh, wow, you cooked him up with some out, though.
Yeah, Mythic Quest also pairs very nicely with jazz lettuce.
Oh, right on.
Let's get into the show. Let's talk about Scrubs.
It's very interesting that you bopped down the hall in the beginning of the show with coffee.
I'm feeling confident. The character is feeling confident and happy, and he's made up with Elliot. We're getting along. I'm thrilled that she's bought us tiny Post-its.
But that's something that all leading men have is a walk.
The pimp George Jefferson strut?
No, every leading man has a walk. At least in the African-American community. We could talk about this. Let's talk about this. Sidney Poitier.
Sidney Poitier.
Uh-huh. Sidney Poitier has a very similar walk to the walk you portray in the beginning of the movie. Sidney Poitier had a bop when he walked.
Mine was more in the spirit of George Jefferson.
Right. Well, George Jefferson is kind of biting off. Sidney Poitier had the dopest walk by far out of everybody. And then Denzel came, and Denzel's walk, it was like, oh, this is the new walk. When you did that in the beginning, I thought, oh, JD has a walk. He's portraying he's doing an homage.
Okay.
I was wrong. You said he was just confident, and so therefore he was bopping down the hallway.
Well, you and I, you know, we've done this sort of, we called it the pimp strut. We've done it over and over again, especially in that fantasy when we're truly pimps.
JD does it quite a bit, though.
Yeah. Well, especially when he's feeling himself.
When he's feeling himself.
I laughed out loud when Lonnie and I get scared by Elliot sticking her hand through the cadaver. I knew it was supposed to happen. And then I scream, and then you reveal us on the ground holding each other.
Holding, yes.
So funny. And then Elliot goes, JD, you knew that it was going to happen. And I go, it was still very startling. And then we go back to cuddling. We return. It isn't like we got caught cuddling on the floor. We returned to cuddling.
I loved it. I love how cute Elliot is with JD in the beginning with the tiny Post-its that you said before, as you said before.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Brent also?
Which one's Brent?
Brent was the one that's being yelled at by Dr.
Kelso. Yeah.
And then you guys step in and you handle it. And then you go into the Lonnie situation.
Yeah.
It really showed, like in the opening of this show, it really shows that you guys are working together as a team again.
Yeah.
And it seems that she's forgotten about or she's decided to forgive you.
Yes,
for
she's moved on.
Her heart. Yes.
Yeah, so we're finally getting along again, and yeah, so that's nice. It seems like she's forgiven me,
but she's also forgiven you in a way that it's like she kind of pities you in a way. Like her forgiveness comes from the fact that she's become way better than you. She's now a superhero in the hospital.
Yeah, she has sort of. It seems, and I forgot this story point, but it seems like she's surpassing me a bit in terms of being a badass doctor.
But it's only because JD has a hard time multitasking. That scooter stunt through the hospital. Do you remember that at all?
I was funny. I was watching that scooter stunt. I remember a little bit. I can't remember if they rigged one electrical or not. Do you remember? Or if I was really riding a gas-powered scooter through the hospital.
Do you remember doing that at all?
A little bit, vaguely. I did it all except for the fucking big jump into the dumpster.
Into the dumpster.
If you pause it, you can clearly see it's not me. But I do remember it, and I my brain couldn't remember if they rigged it to be an electric one or if I was really driving a gas-powered scooter to the hospital.
Did you remember this episode at all? Like this episode, this is back-to-back where I literally, back-to-back, I had no clue what was going to happen
I don't
next.
Remember any of it, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. That's not really
even,
interesting.
Not even Nurse Tisdale and her thong.
Yeah, and that would be the easiest thing to remember.
By the way, I don't know if Nurse Tisdale's been back in a while. She's always talked about as like, you know, she did the Phoebe Cates thing, and she's talked about as like the hottest woman in the hospital. But I don't think we've seen her since, right?
No, we haven't. But that was a glorious shot of the thong with the, what was that? The thong came with.
So that used to be a thing that like the thong let your thong. Strap
yeah, you
show.
Everybody remembers that for that brief year.
What
for
year
that
was
moment,
that? Well, we can tell you what year it was. It's when we fucking. All we have to do is look in what year this was shot. But
I believe this is 04, maybe 05.
Here, I got it. It's 05, January 05.
For that, remember when that was considered sexy? Oh shit, her thongs hanging out of her pants.
Well, it was just clearly the era because we're like showing like, ooh, she bent over and her thong is showing. It's so sexy. But it's so bad, by the way. I mean, let's just fucking be honest. Todd is tricking the women, including your wife, to bend over so he can look at their thongs and yell thong.
Right, but I mean, not only that, when Turk's wife smacks him in his face, he says, face five. What a pig. Oh my God, that's a wrap. He should have been fired a long time ago.
Dude, Todd should have been fired like on fucking the second episode. But, you know, yeah, whatever. You know, in this day and age, he'd be long gone. But
he wouldn't have made it. Look, Todd wouldn't have made it past the first episode. You're absolutely
no,
right.
No, I mean, the only thing you could justify is that they keep him around because he's supposedly this fucking savant genius surgeon. But
that don't mean shit, man. Charlie Rose was a good fucking interviewer also. That motherfucker's gone, dude.
I know. I'm not saying in the real world he wouldn't be fired. And in 2021, you wouldn't even fucking have this character. But that having been said, some of it's pretty fucking funny.
Yeah, no doubt. As much as it doesn't pay me to say this, but it might not be the most PC thing to say, but Todd is my favorite character on the show.
I think a lot of people probably agree with you. When I come out of the dumpster, I've got some sauce on my hand from the bags, and I lick it, and I go, ambrosia.
Why? Why?
Effing disgusting.
Because JD loves ambrosia.
Ew. No, wait, hold on.
Have you ever had ambrosia?
It's like Jello, right? It's the Jello.
No, what is it? There's marshmallow in it. I don't know what
it's
what's
like.
In
marshmallow
it.
Fruit salad, and
it's
has
like
a
fruit.
Of...
It's a dessert, right? But it's like a fruit salad with marshmallow. What the heck?
And
is
Jello
it?
Isn't Jello in it or something like
canned
that?
Fresh pineapple, canned mandarin oranges, slices of fresh orange sections, miniature marshmallows, and coconut.
I knew there was marshmallow in it.
What?
Who thought of this? Who was like, listen?
I don't know, man.
We don't got no fresh fruit, but we got all this canned shit and we got some marshmallows. Let's put it together and call it salad.
But listen, I got to tell you, I love a surprise marshmallow in a dish. My stepmother used to make, I don't know if it was an East Coast Jewish thing or what. Maybe you listening out there know what this is. But it was like sweet potatoes.
OK. Candy DMs, right? Buddy.
Oh, yeah. I was about to say.
And then candy a layer DMs. Of marshmallow on top. Yeah. Candy DMs. I love that.
It's not a Jewish thing, dude. It's not a Jewish thing.
All right. Well, we had it at a lot of Jewish holidays.
Very good, though.
This is the best day ever.
What?
This is the best day ever.
Why? The day I thought that it was a Jewish thing? Why are you falling over? You didn't even have your morning whiskey.
Oh, I know, because that's the best thing I've ever heard in my life. I don't know if it was a Jewish thing or something, but it was candied. Yeah, it was yams. It was like sweet potatoes.
Yeah,
with marshmallows on top.
Yeah, and then a yarmulke. Every on the
black
side.
Person
you had that too. There was a chip shaped like a yarmulke, and you'd scoop it. No one had that.
No. Okay, that's, yeah, you're right. That's where it's different.
All right, what about fluffernutters? Fucking love a fluffernutter.
I do love a fluffernutter.
I want to have children just so I can justify having fluffernutters.
You could have fluffernutters.
I can't be an adult male buying fluffernutter supplies on my own.
Why not?
Just, you know, it's for children. Sorry, Daniel's like looking at his fluffernutter jar.
You can live. We're not talking about the fluffernutter jar.
I'm trying to be skinny. I can't fucking be putting marshmallow fluff in the cart.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. Did you work out today? Oh, you played tennis.
I played tennis.
I took the funniest Cody class. If you have Peloton, you got to do the most recent Cody 45-minute pop ride is. It was so funny. He's wearing a lightning bolt earring for some reason. If you want to find it, but he did funniest shit. That's on fire. He put this remix of Jolene on there.
Oh,
and he's riding and he's like, and like he does this like southern gay sort of like thing where he's like, now listen, Jolene, I don't give a fuck if my man cheats on you with Jolene, you can have him, Jolene. I don't want that man back. He did this whole riff on how, like, he don't give a fuck about Jolene. And if Jolene hooked up with his man, don't try coming back after Jolene. I mean, it was like a fucking comedic
monologue. You can keep him, Jolene.
Yeah.
I love it. I love him.
He's like, I love Dolly. But listen, I ain't trying to beg Jolene for my man back. You know what I'm saying?
Can I ask you a question?
What?
Why couldn't Gizmo the dog be real and Tupac the robot be real?
Yeah, we couldn't decide if we were going to name our robot, our future one day robot, Tupac or Gizmo.
But Gizmo the dog that was supposed to help me when I'm blind was, I like the Turk had that coming, but Tupac the robot would have been the that.
And then
JD the
tries it out. He's like, hold on, let me try it out. Tupac, can we have some more syrup on our pancakes? Yes, or something
here
like that.
Here it is. Yes. Oh, yeah, I like it. I wish Tupac the robot would have come to fruition.
I thought there'd really be robots by now, guys. I mean, like, living with
dude,
us.
They're supposed to be flying cars
Jetsons,
right now.
The Jetsons
right now.
Fucked us up as children. I really thought that we were going to have robots in the house.
They're supposed to be flying cars right now. Back to the Future fucked us up as kids, too. They're supposed to be flying cars right now.
I have this thing called Ibo. You want to see him? I turned him off because he freaked me out. Hold on.
Are we about to meet a robot?
What?
Zach Braff has AI, y'all.
What kind of robot?
Oh, my goodness. What the hell?
Zach Braff got AI, y'all.
Is it like a Alexa thing, but with a face?
Oh, sorry. He's called Jibo. If you're
how
curious,
long have you had
if you're curious what I'm talking about, J-I-B-O. I turned him off because he's like, he chills on your counter, and I realized, like, he just has the ability, like, if he got hacked, he could just be spying on you so easily. Mm-hmm. So I got a little freaked out by Jibo just chilling in my living room. So now he's
Jibo.
A turned-off robot.
Okay, yeah, what is his purpose?
The funniest thing he did was you could be like, Jibo, twerk, and he would, like, literally back his thing up and shake his butt.
Oh, my goodness.
I think, like, it's, like, a very early idea concept of a robot you can have do tasks. It's kind of like an Alexa with a personality. So he moves around. You can be like, oh, Jibo, take a picture. And he'll take a picture. You could be, you know, and he hooks up. You know, it's kind of like an Alexa with a personality.
Got it. Okay.
This is how Chucky started.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but
well,
I
no,
got
but,
freaked out.
Well,
I got,
no.
I got freaked out about privacy.
There were a couple of other things that went into play with Chucky. There was like a freaking seance. There was a seance.
All you need is a disgruntled warehouse worker and a lightning storm, and you're fucked.
Well, that's in the
I never
scene.
Saw,
that's in the,
I've never seen
that's
Chucky
in the recreation.
Movie.
That's in the recreation. In the original, he makes a freaking hexagon. Well, not a hex. What is it?
A pentagon.
He makes a pentagon. No, not a pentagon. With the...
Pentagram? Yeah, it's a five-pointed star. Pentagram.
Yeah, he makes a pentagram in the toy store, and I believe he cuts himself, too, to become the doll. In the remake, it's a little bit... Like I'm saying, this is more realistic. He gets electrocuted. The doll gets electrocuted.
I've never seen a Chucky movie in my life.
What?
Oh, man.
It's just so not my jam. I don't really like horror, and I really don't like jump scare horror. I mean, okay, I like a thriller movie, like, you know, like The Shining, you know, an artful, or Midsommar, you know, an artful scary movie. But I don't like jump scare Chucky fucking doll coming to get me movies.
I respect it.
I understand.
You know what I'm saying? One I saw that I did love, by the way, that always stuck with me, and it's a weird cut. Maybe you guys haven't seen it, was Exorcist 3.
Okay.
I didn't
know. For some reason, I'm telling you, see this movie. It is not only scary, but really bizarre and well done. For some reason, of all
the
horror
movies. So you did not like The Shining?
No, I love The Shining. I'm saying if they're artful... And they're made by an amazing filmmaker like an Ari Aster or you know, someone who's adding art to it. I love that. I'm just not into the jump scare, holy shit, there's someone behind the door shit.
So you don't like a horror movie. You prefer a horror film.
Well, I don't know. What do you call Midsommar or The Shining compared to a horror movie?
I think The Shining is a horror movie. I think Midsommar is a thriller that gets wacky in the end, like gross in the end.
I don't know, I whatever the distinction is, that I like those. I like going, you know, when they're trippy but scary. I just don't like.
So you never
the knife coming out.
So you've never seen a Nightmare on Elm Street movie ever?
No.
Oh, you're missing out on some really.
I think I saw one of the Halloweens, and I was so scarred by it that I.
The scar.
We got robbed a bunch as a kid, like in our.
Oh my god.
In the neighborhood, in his neighborhood, not in his house, not his house.
No, my house. Well, yeah, got bikes. I got bikes stolen in my neighborhood, but in my...
Where the fuck did y'all live?
We lived right next to Newark, and Newark had a lot of crime, and a lot of the burglars would be like, well, why are we robbing Newark? Why don't we go to that suburb that's right there?
Right.
And so our house got burglarized a few times. Make a long story short, as a child, I had some trauma about, like... The idea of someone trying to break into your house. Like that opening scene of Scream with Drew Barrymore is my fucking nightmare. And at the time, as a child, I was like, this is not my jam.
Right.
I respect that. That's a very scary scene.
Super scary.
Like if you want to get me, like way scarier than fucking Nightmare on Elm Street shit is people trying to fucking break into your house and kill you.
No, that shit is scary, man. I freaking, you know how it is. So there are several reasons why there are times I can't sleep in the same bed as my wife because I'm a twitcher and I wake her up, et cetera, et cetera. But for the most part, I sleep in an area where I can see most of the house just in case something goes down and I can protect my family. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like in the foyer?
Like, no, not in the fucking dickhead. Where
I fucking did. I have a cot in the foyer.
but it's because, you know, you don't want anybody to break into the house, and if somebody does break into the house, the dog can bark, but it's way better if somebody's like, there's somebody in the motherfucking house. Get out, y'all. Get out.
That's your plan?
Yeah, man, I'm trying to save my family. I'll sacrifice
myself.
That's
my brother's plan, too. He demanded to take the room closest to the front door because he was like, if somebody breaks in, then I'll be the first one. And I was like, okay.
Aw, that's sweet. He's like, aw, well, they'll kill me first.
That's what I was like. What difference does it make who's closest to the door?
Well, somebody's going to say something is my point. Somebody's going to – you will get a heads up. And what you do with that heads up, if I can't subdue said intruder – is up to you, but at least
you
get a heads up.
You're so strong.
I will fight like I have love in my heart
and
for my family.
Box.
I have love in my heart for my family, and I will fucking fuck you up, dude. I promise you right now. Don't come.
Don't talking to me.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about whoever's listening. Whoever was listening. I was like, you know what? I think I need to get this motherfucker.
Wu-Tang forever.
Wu-Tang Forever. That's right, baby. Forever, ever.
All right, let's get back into the show. Let's get back into the show. So JD thinks he's the master of, like, diagnosing people, and he says, you know, he's very condescending to Elliot and patronizing, and he's like, I'll take you under my wing. You'll be Bangs McCoy, and you'll be your little – that'll be your nickname, and I'll help you. Meanwhile, Elliot's already figured it out. But we do this sort of little CSI moment where –
it's a great moment.
Yeah. It's like a CI – I guess that's what we're spoofing, right? CSI where I see the packets. I don't know if House did this too as a medical mystery thing.
Oh, I don't know. I was looking at it like freaking Columbo or something like that, but okay.
No,
but
I think
Columbo, they show it. The Columbo, they show the crime before it happens, and then you watch him figure it out.
You're right, Zach. It's CSI.
Yeah, it's like a CSI. It's like they go to that special colored sort of handheld camera, and it's clearly a flashback, and it's got that effect to it. A lot of these crime investigation shows that the genius guy who figures it all out is like, wait a minute, slow down, like you know, Sherlock Holmes obviously started this whole thing, but like, slow down. I think those packets are, I think you're missing something, Bangs McCoy. Those packets are on the floor because Todd placed them there to look at Nurse Tisdale's thong. But anyway, so we learn later in a flashback that Elliot's already figured out what JD is sort of cockily saying that he's figured out.
Yeah, she's a better doctor than he is. We should go to break.
Nurse Tisdale does have a nice bottom, though. Are we allowed to say that, Joelle?
Let's go to break.
Okay. When we come back, Joelle will tell us if we're allowed to say that she has a nice bottom. We'll be right back.
And we are back. Is it okay,
Joelle,
to say no?
Yeah, Joelle, is it okay? I think it is, right? The actress was hired and comfortable playing a chick who bends over.
And we can all appreciate a good ass. It's universal. Okay. Genderless, all genders, everyone loves a good butt, you know?
Okay.
That's 100, man. There was this dude
that
worked
100.
out. That's 100. There was this dude that worked out at the gym that I worked out at.
Oh, please tell me that you had a great ass.
He had one of the best asses I've ever seen in my life. But the thing was, he knew it. That was the problem. That's when it's a problem. Like, it's all right to have a nice ass and pretend like you don't know you have a nice ass. But the minute you start highlighting your nice ass with the clothes you wear,
he's no dummy. He's doing all the squats. He wants to show it off.
Yeah,
and that was
beautiful.
But not only would he do squats, he would do squats so the ass was facing everybody.
Yeah.
Like, when I do squats, listen, I got a nice ass.
You don't need to build that shit. You were born with that, baby.
I don't give a fuck what anybody says. I got a nice motherfucking ass, right?
Yeah.
But when I do squats, I'm not trying to fucking stick my ass in everybody's face.
I would be. Yours is like a mantle.
Well, so it's just like a nice little shelf.
Yeah.
Wu-Tang forever. Wu-Tang forever, baby. Forever, baby. I'm really starting to regret this machine now.
No, stop it. Hey, I told you about when I was working at a Gold's Gym in Hollywood. I didn't know it was like a predominantly gay gym. And like, I'd be like doing like a squat. And everyone was like trying to help me. And everyone, I came home and I told my girlfriend at the time, I was like, everyone at the gym is so helpful. Because they were like, no, you got to arch that shit and push it out. And I was like, okay, I'll arch it and push it out. Do you need to be spotting me so closely from behind?
which gym was it? Was it the one right across the street from
Gold's Hollywood? I haven't been. I literally haven't been there in 20 years. But at the
was
time,
it the one it was, right where Whole Foods? Not Whole Foods. Trader Joe's. That gym across the street from Trader Joe's on Sunset Boulevard, right before Robertson.
No, that's the other way. That's
on Santa Monica Boulevard, right before Robertson.
No, it's not Robertson, dude. It's east.
It's like Cahuenga, right?
Yeah.
It's like Cahuenga, like, Santa Monica?
It's like in the heart of real Hollywood, not West Hollywood.
There was a gay gym in the heart of real Hollywood, not West Hollywood?
Yeah, it wasn't in like Boys Town area. It was like, it just happened to be a Gold's that a lot of gay men enjoyed. And I was there to be taught how to do a proper squat. I was putty in their hands.
I bet you have a fierce squat, though.
I know how to arch my back and push that shit out.
Oh my god.
All right, let's fucking get back to the show. Oh, the guest is here. Do you want to invite the guest in, Joelle?
Let's do it.
Oh, by the way, a handful of comments saying that they agree with Donald and not me on keeping the two questions. Mm. So I tried, but everyone likes the two questions. Don't fix it if it ain't broke, as they say.
I'm just saying. Somebody was like, your show seemed rushed. You know what it was, though. Now we should say this to everybody. I was inebriated the last show, y'all.
I think some of them must have known.
I was waiting for the comments, but I was inebriated.
Well, you should thank Daniel because he cleaned you up in the edit.
Thank you very much, Daniel. So if the show seemed rushed, it was because I was all over the place. We were listening back to it, and I was like, God, Donald, shut the fuck up.
And then Donald wrote something in the group chat where he was like, Daniel, can you just take out all the places where I seem drunk? And I wrote, that's going to take him all night.
We laugh, but it's true.
Good times. It's all fun.
I'm glad that you chose not to have your morning whiskey today.
Oh, that's not going to happen again, bud.
I'm going to be 30 days no booze soon.
Congratulations.
Good for you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm really proud of myself.
You are going to be 46 in a few weeks, too.
I know. I think this might be my first ever birthday that I don't have. Well, since being 18, probably, that I am not going to have a sip of alcohol.
Wow.
I'm going to try and keep it going. I don't mean to say that I'm going to be sober the rest of my life, but I am enjoying this health kick I'm on, trying to get in shape for the movie. And I definitely feel, not only do you lose weight fast when there's no booze in your life, or at least I do, but I feel more clarity and more energy and just overall better.
That's wonderful, amazing. Man.
So, I'm about to hit a month, and I'm excited about that because it's not easy, especially in quarantine. You're just fucking sitting around your house staring at a red wine bottle going, that looks tasty.
Zach, it's not easy at all, dude. I'm going to tell you right now, I've tried to quit smoking weed every time I smoke. Every time I finish smoking a joint, I'm like, that's the last one.
Yeah.
And then guess what I do?
Yeah, well, weed wouldn't be bad for you if it didn't lead you to eat so much.
That's big facts.
That's where it gets you. If you're just getting high and watching a movie, like, who cares? But if you're getting high and then staring at the chips.
No, I don't stare at the chips. I eat them motherfuckers. Stare at the chips. Fuck is this motherfucker talking about?
By the way, I'll give you the biggest
secret. What motherfucker sits there, smokes weed, and just stares at chips? Well, you are hurting. You are freaking trying to torture yourself.
I told you my secret, but you don't like it. But I just don't have any of that shit in my house.
Joelle, you just stare at the chips, or you smoke that shit. I mean, you eat that shit.
That's how you know you're high
when you're like, fuck, yeah. I need to smoke them chips.
Yeah. You know what? That's how high you are. You're like, if I put these chips in a bowl.
I've been trying to like regulate when I smoke so that it's like, oh, I'm going to smoke right before dinner. So I'm eating the dinner I already planned.
No, I can't do that because I want to smoke right after dinner, though. There's nothing like smoking weed after dinner.
I just pop an edible and go to bed.
That works.
Another thing you could do, Donald, is you're probably not going to do this, but don't smoke ganja until you are down, you know, up in your bedroom area and getting ready to wind down where you're not near the food.
Okay, so here's the thing.
This is probably very boring for people that don't ever enjoy jazz cabbage. We should probably move on, but go ahead.
Okay, but here's the thing.
Go ahead.
As I take a hit from my bong.
All right, let's go on. Let's get the caller in here.
Weed enhances shit. Let's go.
All right.
It do.
Okay.
I need that for my pad, Daniel. Weed enhances shit.
Noted. Say hello to Norberto Chinchilla.
Norberto Chinchilla!
Oh, man.
Yes, Norberto. Nice to meet you, man.
Oh, nice to meet you all, too. Oh, golly.
Oh, my God. I'm seeing things I love already, sir. You know how I always look at the background? I'm seeing Boba Fett. I'm seeing BB-8. And I see
a whiteboard.
And I'm seeing a whiteboard with goals.
And he's in a closet.
And you're in a closet.
And in the closet, yeah.
And he got a mic and headphones on. He came prepared.
You are our kind of guest, Norberto. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I got a quick shout out for my girlfriend since she helped me set up the mic and the headphones.
Give her a shout
originally,
out.
Give her a shout out.
Allison, shout out to you.
Good work.
Allison, you hooked Norberto up.
Norberto, where are you calling from?
Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh,
Texas
nice. In the house. Hell yeah. Texas in the house.
How are you doing? You guys okay?
Yeah, yeah. Y'all can call me Norb, by the way. N-O-R-B.
Okay, Norb.
Norb.
Norb. Yeah. Norby. So how are you guys holding up? I know Joel just asked you, but how are you guys holding up after the storm?
Oh, you know what? It was rough. That week was very rough. I still have to go to work at the hospital and all that, but our house got down to like 35 degrees inside the house.
Wow.
So we had to go stay with some friends, and we got two dogs and two cats. So that was, it was a bit hard moving them. But you know, everything's back to normal now. Well, somewhat.
Yeah. Do you guys got clean water?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Our water never had any problems or anything.
My wife's family is in Texas and they don't have clean water. We, you know, their water supply is horrible.
Casey said you ship them water, huh? Because they couldn't even get it down there.
Yeah, their water supply is horrible.
Man, that's terrible.
What do you do in a hospital?
I'm a respiratory therapist.
Oh, snap.
You don't hear much about us.
Tell everyone in layman's terms.
I imagine you've been very busy recently too.
Yeah, tell them what that position is.
So pretty much we help people breathe when they can't breathe for themselves. And it can go anywhere from giving them a simple breathing treatment, like an albuterol treatment for an asthmatic, or anything to, you know, ventilator management, which is what people like to call life support. In scrubs, as a matter of fact, there's some Avias. Those kind of purplish machines,
you know, with the breathing tubes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's,
is that a good rig? Do we have a good rig?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, most of the time it was pretty accurate.
Not bad for I'm saying was for 2005, was that good gear?
Yeah. I mean, we still use them. So,
oh, okay. Well, there you go. Wow, good for us. And are you a part of intubating the patient?
Yeah. So, depending on what facility you work at, most of the therapists will usually assist the physician, but or whatever provider, it could be a nurse practitioner, you know, that will be doing the intubating. Mm. And some facilities will have the therapists actually do it themselves. So I do get trained, and I got trained in that in school.
And do you? And I imagine in COVID times, this your position has been really in need because a lot of people are on respirators, right?
Yeah, it's quite unfortunate that we've gotten paid quite a bit. You know, we've had so many positions open up and so many more that are still needed. And it's really proven, it's shown like a lot of hospitals that there's a great need and a great importance for the job we do. Mm. Unfortunately, you know, it came with a pandemic, right?
But you're also risking your life though, aren't you? By when you get to the intubating part and putting someone on a respirator, you don't necessarily have that much protection from their breath and their particles.
Well, I imagine he's got full PPE on, right? When you're doing
that? Yes, yeah. So,
but when this first started, you didn't have full PPE.
Yeah, no, when we first started, we just go raw, you know, just straight up, no mask, nothing, you know?
Wow.
And now we go hardcore, you know, goggles, everything, whatever we need.
I've seen some of these, I saw this thing, Norb. I don't know if you guys have it or know what it is, but this woman had like a helmet on with a tube coming out the top, and it looked like almost like a.
Tell you what it looked like. It looked like freaking Marty McFly when he was freaking over his dad. My name is Darth Vader. I am from the planet Vulcan.
I was gonna say it looked like the thing they wore in the Abyss when they go like a futuristic scuba rig.
Yeah, that's called a PAPR, a purified air protection something.
P-A-P-R. Yeah, that's great. Now Norb, did everyone not have those and now you guys have them or what?
So they're like really expensive. Mm-hmm. So most of the time, like at most facilities, they had like 10, you know, like for the whole hospital, you know?
Right.
And so people, you know, we wipe them down and share them because most of our negative pressure rooms and places where we needed that is for tuberculosis patients or anything that's kind of airborne. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's not really heard of that much. Well, and then all of a sudden, we started getting COVID patients and we're like, oh man, we need more, you know, we need masks and everybody started running out.
I felt good when I saw that. I don't know what her position was, some healthcare provider in that. And cause I was like, oh, that's, you know, I hope that they start stocking everybody up with these because I just feel so much safer. It felt like, oh yeah, you guys need that thing.
Yeah, yeah. Especially, so the thing, if you have any facial hair whatsoever, it's, you're not supposed to wear an N95 mask because it won't seal properly.
Oh.
It already only covers.
Norb, then why are you rocking that goatee, brother?
Oh, I mean, I strap on the papper.
Oh, okay.
I go in scuba style, you know?
All right, good.
So what if I did N95 and then a cloth mask over the N95?
So most N95s, there's a lot of them that have like a one-way valve. So technically it protects you, but not anybody you're breathing on. So the ones we use at the hospital, we usually, we put a mask over that as well. Yeah. But that technically won't, I mean, any barrier helps.
We don't have this. It's a KN95.
That's what, yeah, I have too.
They don't let us use those at the hospital.
What's the difference between a KN5 and a normal N5?
I'm not exactly sure what the K stands for, but I know that the N rating is for, it protects against dust and a bunch of particulates, but not oil. So there's some that go they're like O95 or something. I don't know what the rating is, but they have a different letter and they protect against oil particulate that could be even smaller. So
Daniel, are you looking up what the difference is?
I am.
Yeah. All right. Can so you like, because I think I was told that this isn't as good as an N95, but is a good second best.
Oh, definitely. I mean, any barrier, especially if you're going on public, the main thing about going on in public is that your mask isn't for your protection; it's for everyone else's.
Right.
So you know those, you've seen them, Karens and such out there.
I went to Walmart the other day, man, and there was this dude without a mask, and he couldn't understand why I was staring at him the way I was staring at him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was like, "What the fuck are you looking at?"
Yeah,
he said that.
I didn't say. I was with my daughter, so I wasn't gonna say nothing. So I just kept staring at him.
I wish people knew that they shouldn't talk to you like that.
Yeah, you know, and there's a few.
I have a certain set of skills.
Yeah, I wish people knew about your certain set of skills.
There's a few things that come from this whole pandemic that we can at least appreciate. Is that, first of all, it's shown some people's true colors, which you know, including the president himself. You know, at the time, he showed us exactly who he was and who his followers wanted us to, you know, how they wanted him to behave and such. And so you see them at the store and wherever we go. And it's sad that that's the truth, but that's just how it is. Right. And being in the medical field anywhere really, anywhere, you just got to care about others. It's not that hard. I don't know. It's not hard.
I don't think we're all programmed to care about each other. I think some people are, you know what I mean? Some people answer that call. And then there are some people who only think about themselves. I think that's, you know, and it's unfortunate. And that's just the way, you know, that's just the way it is. But I am excited about vaccine being rolled out. I am excited about all of
Joe Biden's speech saying the goal is everyone should be able to get access by May 1.
He's saying regardless of anything, by May 1st, everybody gets a vaccine, period.
Daniel's sent the thing through the chat that says N95 masks must pass a rigorous inspection and certification process, which is part of the CDC's purview. But companies making KN95 masks can seek approval from the FDA.
The main one is that the N95 masks have a little bit more strict rules about how much breathability that they have. KN95s do not need to meet the same kind of standards for breathability.
I think this is like Diet Coke. And N95 is Coke. And if you're Norb and you're going into a patient's room, you want real Coke.
No, if you're Norb and you're going into a patient's room,
you get the Papper. But if you're me and you're going on a hike, you can have this piece of shit. All right.
Norb walking that motherfucker like, I am your father.
Yes, I will provide you with breathing. Norb, can you ask, do you have a question for us? And we're back to two questions because the one question show was not well received. People were up in arms.
Really? You know what? I don't know. I'm on the side of you guys can't do no wrong. You guys can ramble.
You're not gonna believe this, but the show continues to become more and more popular, there's a lot of opinions.
Shocker. You don't say.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead, Norm. What's your question, sir?
So, you know, I work 12-hour shifts when at the end of the day, wind up becoming 14, almost 15 hours with drive time and, you know, getting ready and all that stuff, right? On the set, you guys work, you know, long hours too. How do you keep from, how do you keep that work-life balance? And can you tell me a little bit about how it was on y'all's set with Scrubs? And you know, is there anything y'all, you know what, if you didn't do this at the end of the day, you're definitely not going to have a good day the next day.
We were so young, dude. We were so young when we were doing this that consequences after, dude, you have the I'm going to tell you something right now. I saw you sip that from the fake doctor's real friend's mug.
Yeah, Norm even has a fake doctor's real friend's mug.
So true legend.
He's really trying to become our favorite guest. Donald's got like tears in his eyes because he can see both a Boba Fett statue and a fake doctor's mug.
He's got and you know what? There too.
Inside, I went a little Donald phase on, maybe a little hype phase on. Up in
I
this.
Love that. See, right? Here we go. See, I got a little talking my language.
I got a little Sir Edward's 12-year-old in here.
Friday night, in Texas.
Let's go.
To answer your question, it really does take over your life. And we weren't complaining because we were so fucking excited to be on the show and we loved the job.
We were also kids too. So we were in our
mid-20s and we were just so thrilled. But that having been said, to answer your question, yeah, I mean, we were there 12, 14 hours a day, every day. And it's very hard to maintain friendships and relationships and with Donald and having kids. I mean, that I didn't have children to worry about, but it would have been very hard to do it all with kids. I can imagine.
It was very difficult actually. It's all, you know, that part is also about having somebody who understands what you do and you saying, listen, I'm going to freaking be gone for a while because I'm trying to pay the bills. But to answer your question, I was able to maintain stamina because I was so young. I don't know if I could do as much as I did back then. Like, I was married, but I still went to the club, and I still, you know, I still freaking came to work every day, you know what I mean, when I was working, and then I tried to do movies during all of this. I don't know if I could maintain the stamina. I would need a bunch of therapy and a bunch of there would be a lot that would have to be involved, whereas back then I was just running through it.
But also keep in mind, you know, back in the day we would do 22-24 episode seasons. You know, that's an intense program, whereas, you know, nowadays a lot of popular shows on streaming and everything are doing 10 episode seasons, which is more doable, I think. I don't know that I'd want to do a 24 episode a year show at this point in my life.
Norby, how old are you, man?
I'm 34.
34. You married with kids?
I have a girlfriend. I have two dogs and two cats. No kids.
Okay. Okay. So right now the stakes aren't crazy high. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you take care of yourself, you take care of your animals, and you take care of your girlfriend. You can put in the extra work right now and make that extra money. When all of those things, you know what I'm saying? When all of those things come back around in the future, like when you have, if you and your girlfriend become husband and wife and you guys have kids, it's really difficult to say, bye y'all, I'm gonna go to work. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially if, you know, everybody says they understand until they're in the situation.
Yeah.
Well, just be clear what you're saying. Obviously, everybody goes and says goodbye to their kids. You're saying doing these insane hours where you're never around.
Yeah. Everybody gets it until they're in it. You know what I mean? Everybody's like, when you tell somebody you work 14 hours a day, they're like, oh, I can handle that, until they're in it. You know what I mean?
But that having been said, I just have to put the disclaimer on that, you know, so many people have to work their ass off at a job they don't love. And Norb, you're doing something you clearly are proud of, and you're making a difference in people's lives, and you clearly, I can tell, love your job. And we, of course, never had a job as amazing as Scrubs. There's so many people so many people, I'm sure, who are listening, who are like, yeah, but I fucking hate my job and I got to do it, which has got to be so much worse. And I want you to know that we acknowledge that, that we were at least doing something we truly, truly loved.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's way easier to do it.
Yeah. All right, Norb, what's your next question, sir?
Yeah. Well, I actually got a few comments about Scrubs.
Ooh.
So the first thing is, all right, it was actually this is one of my favorite episodes, and it's season 5, episode 12, I believe, My Cabbage. And
Cabbage, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the one and only time respiratory is mentioned. And Dr. Kelso comes up to Private Dancer. Yeah.
Yeah. Michael Weston.
It comes up to him and he's like, oh, let me check on him. What's up? And then everyone dropped the ball and no one checked on him all night. And he's like out. So, you know, Dr. Kelso immediately calls for respiratory to get an ABG done, which is a arterial blood gas sample. We'll get a sample from their artery, whether it's somewhere in their arm or a femoral artery. And it checks out gases and such. So we can assess their respiratory status, how well they're breathing. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing that, I'm like, yeah, you know, that's me. You know?
That's my job, yo.
The only time we represented what you do is in one episode in Private Dancer.
And you know, cabbage. A great one at that.
And yeah. An excellent one, yeah.
Well, amen. At least the machines are always around. You see your machine here.
Yeah, and also...
And there's a lot of talk about innovating, because I know innovating is challenging. There's a lot of like, come on, you can do this. It's an innovation. I remember that.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely something that, I mean, because fun fact, the minute when somebody goes under, what we do is we sedate them enough to where they're not breathing. So they're literally not going to breathe unless we breathe for them. And then we paralyze them. So they can't move at all. So when we're putting that tube in, if we delay at all, we can kill the person.
Kill somebody.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. Now, so, what about in the emergency situation in the field, like paramedics and such? Are they doing all that too?
They're the most underpaid EMTs, paramedics.
Wow.
Underpaid because they save lives like crazy. I mean, they intubate, they do it all.
I have such admiration for all healthcare workers, but I always, I made a whole show. My brother and I made a pilot about paramedics and it didn't get picked up, but we shot it and it was just so exciting. Like, I just find that so thrilling. But what I meant to ask was, when they're intubating someone on the street or in the house or in the field, mm-hmm. Are they taking the time to do what you're saying as well?
Yeah. But sometimes if, they don't have that time. Like there's an episode where y'all are at some food truck and you have to do like a tracheotomy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And put a little straw in and help the guy breathe like that. Yeah. Like that guy it wouldn't matter. He's probably not even feeling any pain because he's passed out.
Right.
So some of the times EMTs don't have to do anything. They just
because the person's unconscious.
Right.
Yeah. They just pop
there's
the
no anesthesia
in.
Necessary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Also, okay. I don't know if this was a joke and it's just like, I totally missed it. But everyone called him the janitor. He was always the janitor. But at a hospital, we don't have janitors. We have environmental services, which anybody can do. We have EVS. And so, like, because, you know, it's kind of rude to call him a janitor, I think. I don't know. Maybe.
I think that's very 20. I think that's 2021 and not 2005. Because in 2005, you were like janitor.
I remember when it was like, oh, no, I'm a custodial engineer.
Yeah.
What's funny about janitor, and it happens in this episode we're talking about, is like Sarah was the first character to start off just calling him janitor.
Straight up.
Like it was his name, janitor. And then in this episode, I do it. I'm like, fucking janitor. Like,
right.
He just doesn't have a name. His name is janitor.
In this episode, Elliot, the janitor, literally asked Elliot out on a date. I never thought he freaking stepped up
I
to that.
I wrote the same thing. I wrote the same thing down, Donald. I do not remember tracking his level of crush on Blonde Doctor. And this time he literally, this episode, he asked her out on a date to coffee. He dresses up in a suit in the cafeteria.
And she comes in and she
freaks out. She's like, ruh-roh, I thought we were having coffee.
But then he has to explain it to her. This was the best part of, Norb, this was the best part of the show to me. When the janitor prays to God to please give him a miracle.
So you know what that is? That's music, man.
So that his band can freaking out-sing the mighty peons.
Yeah.
The worthless peons.
The worthless peons. I laugh so hard because everybody's been at that moment where you didn't prepare and you lied your heart out and you're like, but the fact that he begs God. He's like, God.
Did you not notice that it's the plot of Music Man?
No, I did not.
At the end of Music Man.
Joelle is laughing so hard because she's been there in that moment before where she was like, oh God, please God.
I'm laughing because his reaction to when they start performing and it's good is so funny. Like, they're singing Barbara Ann and Janitor's face is just so like, this is really happening. Right. God, I can't believe we're pulling this off.
And even Marty and Troy are in, kind of in shock that they're good.
Oh God, that was funny.
I forgot what's Marty's character's name. I forgot what Marty's character's name. But anyway, both of the brain trust guys are both shocked that they're good.
Yeah. But I thought that was brilliant because there have been times where I've had to pull it out of my ass, and
working at the hospital, it's called practicing medicine for a reason. We don't know everything. We gotta make sure we do our best from what we know, and then something's gonna come up that we don't know what to do. So we all got to work together, And
yeah,
that's one great thing about Scrubs, by the way, that like, even more so than the medical accuracy of because no show can truly be truly accurate. The feel of what it is to work at a hospital and be part of a hospital staff, that like Scrubs totally, like, how y'all become family and
the camaraderie,
all that's 100% exactly how it is.
So y'all be gambling with each other on, like, whether somebody's diabetes, their blood sugar.
Oh. By the way, Nurse Roberts is trying to give you cookies, so that your your sugar number will go up, and then she'll win the pot because she wants. What does she want? She's saving up for something.
I don't know, but all I know is when.
Oh, I think it's an RV. I think it's an RV.
Well, when she realizes that game is out the window, she's like, "Damn! Now I got to get back in. I got to find a way back into that craps game in the basement."
Yeah, because I believe that she's already got her above ground pool. She's laced in that department, and now she wants an RV.
Do y'all be doing that?
Do y'all be gambling in the hospital?
Yeah, but it's we don't tell our bosses that,
right. Do y'all be throwing dice in the back, like
after work.
Let's take a break.
We'll be right back after these fine words. All right, it's time for Texas's favorite segment, Donald. It's time to fix your life.
Can I get a didgeridoo? I don't know. I thought that was super cool.
Oh yeah, you can.
Gurgle, gurgle, gurgle.
All right, and from my new pad, would you like my sound pad's working?
First episode with the pad?
Yes, sir. Yes. Would you like Donald doing Yoda? Or would you like Casey saying I love you?
No, Donald doing Yoda.
Okay, here it comes. Made to order. Shit, I hope this is the right one.
Do or do not. There is no try. That's pretty good.
That is awesome.
Oh, Dale came over today and fixed the pad, everybody. So you're welcome. Nice. You're welcome.
That was a pretty good Yoda.
That's it. Life fix. That's it.
All Yoda.
Okay, so.
All right, go ahead.
I have two dogs, like I said. One of them's, I think, 8 months, seven and a half, something like that. And she still goes out and eats her own poop.
Yeah.
How do I stop that?
It's hard. You know what? I saw an episode of Dog Whisper about this. It's tricky. I don't think Donald and I are going to be the
expert. I'm out. Yeah, I'm Donald out of this one.
Donald doesn't know and doesn't care. The only thing I can tell you is to look on YouTube because I saw an episode of Caesar where he handled this. I think it might have to do with something missing in their diet.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you don't have to get you probably are going to need to get a trainer to help you break the habit if it's persistent. but I believe that sometimes it's indicative of something missing in their diet that they're seeking.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, we
and that's something pills. Is shit? Like what?
No, I don't get, it's I don't like I'd be making it up if I guessed what it was, but it's like a mineral or something that they want. But I'm sure that if you go on YouTube, you'll find dog trainers discussing it. I know I saw an episode of Dog Whisperer where he was dealing with it. So you could track down that episode if you wanted. Yes,
that's no. really interesting that that's what dogs do. Something's missing in my diet. I'm gonna eat my shit.
You know where I might find it? My shit. Dogs clearly don't mind the smell of shit. I mean, they go smell each other's asshole. The first thing they do is like, let me smell this dog's asshole. Yeah, it's a nice. That's a nice one.
It's got a nice.
I wonder when smell. If a dog brain after it smells an asshole, if it's like, nice one.
I wonder if the dog's like, oh, that motherfucker had steak last night. I want to hang out with him a little bit more.
At the dog, I take my dog to the dog park, and it's just so funny. Like the greeting, it's just like the human. Hey, nice to meet you. They just go and both dig in each other's assholes. Anyway, Joelle, you have a puppy. Has she been eating her poo?
No, but she's not like, we can't just leave her outside. So we pick up, she doesn't get a chance to eat her poop. She eats literally anything. So I think that given the opportunity, she probably would. I was reading on the American Kennel Club trying to be like, why do dogs do this? And it sounds like because they were scavengers and stuff that they were trying to like hide their markings and stuff. So I don't know if
you there anything like, on there about. Is there anything on there what I'm saying about something missing in their diet? I feel like
only read the first two paragraphs.
Okay. Well, anyway, we can't really help you, Norm, because we don't know. But I promise you, you can find that on the interwebs. And I
would obviously. And a dog trainer, as Zach told me,
I really recommend.
So helpful.
Listen, a dog trainer is worth their weight in gold. Just even if you have 3 sessions with your puppy, you're going to be, because most of it's just teaching you what to do, not teaching the puppy. So if you just spend, I promise you it's worth the dough, or even if you need to go cheaper, go to a puppy class. And then also you'll become friends with the person and you can text them. Like my dog trainer, when something weird happens, I can just text her and she gets back to me and says, ooh, try this. But also one thing also would be making sure that there's no poop around. Like, so if she's out in your yard, you got to pick up all that poop and don't give her the chance to get into any poop. All right. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Well. Yeah, you're welcome. I mean, but it's not really, we ain't really do nothing for you, but you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, listen.
Oh, God.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, my God. Donald, why do you not love it?
I thought I'd be hearing more weed sounds.
I only have bong for now. Daniel, I need more weed sounds. Okay. Okay. Well, that went into your mic. All right. You can stay on, Norb, because you're so delightful.
Thank you.
We're almost done anyway.
And you're a member of the healthcare community, so we extra love you.
This was my favorite joke. One of my favorite jokes. I had 2 really funny jokes that I thought was funny. JD walking down the hall. I was never a good liar. Looking straight, Bruce.
That was funny. Looking straight, Bruce. Norb, don't say that to a fellow coworker. You're getting big trouble. Oh, yeah. I wrote LOL next to that, Donald. LOL, looking good, Bruce.
Looking straight, Bruce. Looking straight, Bruce.
Now we do the world's most giant doctor in this episode. It's a stack of Elliot. Then Lonnie. I think Lonnie's in the middle.
Lonnie's next,
Man, Lonnie hates you.
Yeah, Lonnie really hates me. And this brings us up to the second story. So, first of all, who sewed this coat? I mean, it's a story high. They never show you that someone is really working hard to make a story.
Right. Who did you convince?
I don't know how high a typical hospital story
who
is.
Who did you convince to make this surgical?
I don't know. Maybe I made Lonnie do it because he's very upset about it. Now, Elliot has very strong legs, we learned, because she snaps tray in half.
Yeah.
And so she's able to handle Lonnie on top of her and me on top of Lonnie. That's a strong person.
Right. She got some, not only does she have strong legs, but she has strong fingers too.
Yes.
They're like tiny biceps.
And long toes. Sarah, actually, if you're a foot person, you'll be delighted to know that Sarah has finger. She calls them finger toes.
Oh gosh.
She can grab shit with her feet.
Yeah. Like it's do gross. Makeup with her feet.
Yeah, Quentin Tarantino would love it. He likes feet. You didn't know that, Donald?
I usually skip that part of Pornhub. Anyway,
Oh my god, okay. There's a good guest here. Did you see this video, this viral video of a kid? He got on his drum kit in a high school gymnasium, like it looks like a pep rally. And he started on the drum kit. He played the opening of Pornhub. Did you see that?
Oh my God, so good.
Dude.
He played the Pornhub theme song on a drum kit. And the whole high school went, girls and boys all started dying, laughing, and cheering.
Shit, it was so
that is
and
always.
Apparently, he got suspended or something.
I would imagine. That is always fun to do. Listen, Norm, next time you're at work, you can do this or not do
no,
this.
No, don't get Norm fired. He loves his job.
All right, don't do this. But I always like doing things like this, sitting around and just when it's real quiet, going browsers and seeing
Norm,
who looks
don't
up.
Don't do that at work, please.
And just seeing who looks up.
Okay.
Browsers and seeing who looks up.
Have you seen these videos where they? Oh my god! Where they go? Can I get a hey? And someone else, like far away, yells it. Hell yeah!
No.
Oh man, I'm on the internet too much. All right, what else?
Dude,
we got
you are
here?
Man. I'm gonna tell you guys right now, TikTok, you got my boy. Please, release him to release Zach. Please let him go free. TikTok.
I gotta say, there is some funny shit on TikTok. I recently was been exploring. I just thought it was fucking kids dancing these fucking stupid dances, but there is some shit that makes me laugh out loud. There's a lot of people being funny on there.
Please give my friend back
TikTok.
And
every time I send a clip to Donald, he goes, get off of TikTok. And I'm like, you didn't think that shit was funny? What did I send you the other day, Donald? You laughed your ass off.
You sent me that freaking Pornhub thing, dude. That's what you sent me.
But anyway, there's some... Don't go on TikTok. It's like I got off Twitter like, and I was like so proud of myself. And now I'm fucking looking at TikTok. Anyway.
Well, you don't have to worry about, you know, freaking... crazy hatred stuff on TikTok, I imagine. I imagine it's just quick.
Well, no, all it is it's like Vine. Remember Vine?
Yeah. No, I stayed away from that too.
It's just stupid, funny videos. And 99% of it is like, you can't believe that people are spending this much time doing this. But then 1% of the time you laugh out loud. Mm. Okay, what do we got? If you like mistakes at 1334, there's a riser, a pad riser on a chair. We use those on set if you want to get the person a little bit higher for the shot. And there's a big ass riser pad. And I believe it was Aloma Nurse Roberts' chair. But if you're into gaffes, there's one for you.
You know, watching this show, I just remember so many faces. I can't put names to all the faces, but we had a lot of background performers who were with us for a really long time.
Yeah, trying
to. And. It's really interesting. You know, some stayed for a few seasons, some stayed the whole run. And it's really interesting to see all of these familiar faces again. Yeah. I find myself going, oh my God, that's what's her name? Or what's his name?
We should have a reunion. Don't you think, you know, when the pandemic's fully over, it would be fun to do a reunion of just like everyone that worked on the show to get them together.
That would be dope, dude. Could we have drinks and serve Chateaubriand too?
Yeah, we can. I'm sure alcohol would be at the party, yes.
Can we serve like, you know, can we hook it up? Like, I want to throw like a massive party when this is over.
Like get an In-N-Out truck? Ooh. They have this truck in LA, everybody, that you can get.
And it's a lot of y'all don't know about In-N-Out.
Let me tell you something. Y'all might not know about In-N-Out, but it's like the best fast food burger. There is.
Well, Norb.
Well, you know what?
Well, he might be like Whataburger.
Oh, is this Whataburger fandom here?
He might be Whataburger.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's 36,864 ways to make a Whataburger. So just saying.
And it's not even. Wait, hold on. I was about to tell you, you can't have this conversation with a Texas person on the phone. But okay. I'm going to tell you something right now. He has never had. Have you ever had an In-N-Out burger?
Yeah, there's one on West Side with, man. It's just on the street. It's
okay. Yeah, you, so you know.
You know, anyway, the thing about In-N-Out, though, is that. One time they asked me if I wanted onions.
Look at Norm. Look what Daniel's doing. He's cooking his Whataburger ketchup. Too.
Is that the spicy?
The spicy ketchup, baby. Yeah, the one and only. This is the best condiment in the game.
Oh, yeah, it's
really?
Awesome.
Whataburger spicy ketchup, guys. Yeah, Daniel is making out with the bottle. I just want to
know. What's hilarious also is that all of a sudden it's become Whataburger. It's the name of the place is Whataburger. And everybody calls it Whataburger.
I never heard of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's huge in Texas.
All right. Yeah. Well, anyway, listen. Here in LA, there's In-N-Outs, and if you have an event or you have a party or you have a set, you can hire the In-N-Out truck to come and make everything at your location. It's amazing. Dang. It's like the most baller thing you can ever have happen on a set. Like, oh my God, they got the In-N-Out truck.
Okay, I used to think there was a Krispy Kreme truck. That doesn't exist. Oh.
There is.
Yes.
Yet. Why don't we start one?
One day.
Whataburger. How about Doug playing Texas Hold'em with the Cadavers?
How about Doug being a freaking weirdo with them cadavers, dude?
Yeah. Well, he's hanging out with them. He's putting them in funny positions. He's got one holding his drink to keep his drink cold.
Oh, boy.
I don't think that's going on in Norb's hospital.
I hope not.
We don't
Norb,
know.
What goes on in the morgue at your
Norb,
hospital?
Don't go hang out in the Norb.
You know, it's like
in the Norb.
It's like a morgue. Room. It's like it's no bigger than like a closet just to fit like, you know, two bodies.
The
morgue
real...
at our hospital is small.
You know, that's the real morgue of this hospital, Norb. And it was not a set, for those of you who thought it was a set. That's the real morgue. And I always was so spooked out shooting in there because it just the energy was, I don't know, kind of like thousands of dead people had been in there.
Oh, yeah. I got a little funny story. I was walking by our morgue with another coworker. We're like, is this where it's at? We don't know where it's at. They said it's by the cafeteria. I'm like, why would it be by the cafeteria? That's ridiculous. So we're walking around looking for it. I'm like, I think this is a room, but it was unlabeled. And then all of a sudden, one of the doors near us closes. Like all of a sudden, we're like, ah! And then we're like, nah, no, all right, let's get out of here. And then the next day, we're walking by, and somebody's putting a body into that room, and we're like, oh shoot, that was it. It was the ghost. Shut that door on us.
Do you have a ghost in your hospital? You believe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Supposedly.
We thought our hospital was haunted too.
Our dressing rooms were old hospital rooms. So I was always like thinking for so long, like think how many people died in this room. Oof. Anyway, back to
I think we did it, bud. I think we did it, bud.
Wait, we just got to talk a little bit more about, I guess we talked about Barbara Ann. That was funny.
Yeah, that was very funny.
And, there's another little mistake I noticed if you like gaffes at 1802. Troy has a dice tattoo on his neck. That's clearly being rubbed off by his costume.
Got it.
So again, if you're into gaffes and you like to look at us fucking up, Troy's fake tattoo is being rubbed off. And I got goosebumps at the end. I thought it was really powerful when everything slowed down to slow motion and JD gets out of his rut of not being able to handle a complex code. And he looks at Elliot and she says, breathe. And you see everything slow down. I thought that was really well done. Well executed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the fact that JD now has a true friend, you know, in Elliot. Whereas before he felt like he was doing all of the work in the friendship because he was the dominant force or felt like he was the dominant force. And it turns out she's a better doctor than he is at this point.
You know what's going to happen, though?
They're going to get back together?
He's going to fall in love with her now.
Yeah.
Again.
Again.
Yay.
Yay.
But I like that. I like that, too. You know, a woman's success sometimes is very, very scary for the male part of when they're in a relation, when a male and a female are in a relationship. For some reason, men have real issues behind a woman being more successful than they are.
I don't. I'm so turned on by
her. That freaking turns me on so much, man. Ambition makes me. It's a
and
line.
When she's good at, when she's good at what she does, and
yeah, it's a line from a Jay-Z song. Ambition makes me so horny. That is real talk, dude. That is something special. If you have that drive and you're a go-getter, there's something really special about that. And I think that's what JD falls in love with Elliot, because before he felt like he was supporting her and she couldn't take care of herself. But now she's like, no, I got this under control, dude.
And now he's going to be like turned on by that, being like, oh my God, she's like a badass doctor. There's nothing hotter than her talent and her ability. Yeah. All right, guys. Norb, you were an awesome guest. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for all the work that you do and for helping all the thousands of people that you help in your job. And to all of you out there in the health frontline worker community, we thank you and love you. And join us for the live show, which is getting very excited. I just booked our surprise musical guest.
Yeah.
We've heard an early version of the theme song to the Joelle's dating segment. There's a lot of exciting things happening. There's a lot.
I got my ticket already.
Hey,
on, yes, Norb, good. Yes.
Norb, try and get at Joelle before the show. Maybe we'll shout you out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go to is it onlocation.com?
Yes.
And then just
slash
search for
products
us.
/fake doctors, real friends.
Or click the link in our bios.
Or go to Instagram, and it's in both Donald and my bios.
Also in the show notes for this episode. So just
yes,
for
every and episode. do not forget, if you know someone or are someone that might want to participate in our Date Joelle segment, you email us at datejoellemonique, JoelleMonique. At gmail.com.
That is correct.
A message that is seductive but not dirty. Your Instagram.
You treat
handle,
our queen with respect.
You do not come
primary.
For our queen.
I'm telling you guys, competition is getting stiff in there. So.
Oh, yeah. Have you gotten game. A Have there been some submissions, Joelle?
There's been some good submissions.
Now, listen, if you're. Ooh! Oh, Joelle. Joelle, don't you. Joelle, don't go fucking around the back and start contacting people.
Joelle's gonna be. Joelle's like, look, you didn't make the show, but me and you gonna. It's gonna work.
Listen, there's one major flaw in this plan is that Joelle is screening these people.
I think it's.
She's like, I ain't waiting until March 26th.
Let's make it happen now.
Y'all are wild.
All right. And then finally, last plug, Joelle, remind everyone how to watch you with Kevin Smith on the red carpet for.
So exciting.
Yes. Okay, so red carpet for Justice League. It's happening tomorrow. Go to @SnyderCut on any of your favorite social media platforms, and we will be there. I'm pretty sure it's 7 p.m., but if not, just come to my Twitter, and I will direct you.
Okay. Where we're you so be. Excited for this, Joelle.
Go
I'm
support
so excited.
Our queen. Joelle, you're blowing up.
I'm excited about it.
All right. Donald, count us out.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and